Hello, friends. On today's show, a young lady is on the hunt. Newfangled homes are built from wood. Ain't that surprising? Uber Eats and Chipotle help take care of a wedding. And a subliminal man incites happiness. Give us your money. That's coming up. Isaac, please give us the intro.
It's a few years into the aftertimes.
You get what I'm talking about.
So come on. What say we get together, have a few drinks, talk about the good stuff happening in this world? You up for that? Then have a seat, because all the best conversations happen when you're two beers in. Here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Mann.
Everybody missed that musical interlude.
Yes. Can you hear me? I mean,
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. Just making sure the mic was up.
Yep. Mic is way up. How about me?
Mike, get down.
A little bit, just a little bit higher.
A little bit higher.
I think.
Okay, that's
Doug
good.
Doug needs to be not so loud.
There
we go. Bring him down.
Doug sounds fine to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was looking at the thing.
Okay.
They had a pool drink.
It's my red state.
I see.
It is. It's green.
It looks like somebody cut up a pool noodle
yes.
and stuffed it in a glass
and then froze it.
not even froze it. It just looks like it looks like styrofoam in a glass.
Actually, it looks like one of the microphone covers stuffed in the
It could work as well.
Well, it's delicious.
Okay.
It's coconut.
Oh well, there you go.
And it proves that the Smurf does not have a urinary infection.
That's right. It's easy for you to say.
Now, that would be if it were blue, right?
Yeah.
If it were blue.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I a little far off on the shade?
Yeah.
if it were a blue drink, it'd be a Star Trek drink.
That's
Star
right.
Star Trek drink?
Yeah.
Some kind of dragon fruit
yes.
near it. And
a blue nebulon or something.
Yes. Made with... Oh, wow, there's even more people here.
Blue pulsar.
Well, we should get started. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
My name is Brett Weaver. We're here at the historic Aristocrat Lounge on Burnett Road, and you are listening to Two Beers In. As I said when I was getting started, I'm Brett Weaver. I'm enjoying a pool noodle. A nude poodle. Because we're at the poodle dog.
It's got more than just coconut in it.
That's right.
Apparently.
And I also have on the side here my gin and tonic with Angostura bitters.
Hey, I'm Monica Ballard. I'm sitting close to the change machine. So if you should happen by to get change, do tap me on the shoulder and say hello.
Yes.
I'm enjoying a rum punch.
Ooh.
Yes.
A delicious
rum punch, because my favorite bartender's working tonight.
Yay.
He knows how to make it.
That's right. And there's Doug over there.
Yep. And I have an electric jellyfish.
All right.
All right. They got one
and
of those
a drink called electric jellyfish as well.
Yes.
They got one of those in a glass.
That's right.
Delicious. Something's hard to keep in a glass, because they're on the move.
Ah, it got me.
Piss on it, quick.
That's a whole... There's a whole...
Oh, you found my kink.
Now we know what we're talking about in the Patreon episode.
Okay.
We've got four great stories that would help lighten your day, and also a great song at the end that will hopefully make you happy.
Yeah, but did you pick it?
Shut up, Doug.
Woo! I mean, I have all the confidence in the world.
You know,
Brett.
We're supposed to be a positive.
No, I am
right.
positive that
yeah.
I have all
stucky.
The confidence in the world.
Doug is doing the fuck you know.
Yeah, now that's job. That's Doug's job.
Yes,
is to be the curmudgeon.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I was the curmudgeon.
No, you're the affable host.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
I'm the congenial co-host.
Yes.
And Doug. Is the neighbor.
He's that asshole.
Scrooge got nothing
He's Wilson.
On me.
That's what he is. Doug is Wilson.
Out in the snow, Tiny Tim.
Yeah. So we've got four great stories. We're going to start talking about them, right?
Yes.
Now. All right. Let's start with an 18-year-old who uses her tracking skills.
Oh, boy. my probation officer told me to
That's
come
right. And Doug, just so happens, she's right here.
Oh, hey. No!
Out from the ash and flames of wildfires that scorched Canada's Jasper National Park comes the story of a heroic 18-year-old who saved over a dozen people. I'm just looking at Doug now. He's like, all right. Working as a volunteer firefighter and kitchen aide at a lodge, while the rest of us are a bunch of cowards,
yes.
Colleen Newell received an evacuation order on a Monday in late July. Stepping outside, she saw smoke raising from the mountainsides and knew it's time to get the hell out of there and get those people that are camping out of there, too. So she alerted everyone at the lodge, gathered the campers until 16 people were ready to evacuate. Darkness was falling. And getting out of the area meant a four-hour hike across, you know, treacherous terrain. So she used her knowledge of the area and tracking skills to help navigate the 16 people out. The group used head torches and phone flashlights to see in the darkness. So it looked like something in Charlottesville. Everybody was in...
No.
They had tiki torches.
No.
They said, you will not replace us as they went through the forest.
No. You're mixing up your stories.
Sorry. So she
Scroll
said...
back up.
She said, so I've previously ridden a horse up to that lodge on that same trail, and throughout the way, me and my employer, we had cut logs on the way up. So she says, there were 67 logs, so there would be 67 cut logs on the way down. So I used my tracking skills following horse tracks, horse manures,
yep.
and stumps.
Yep.
So that's pretty good. I mean, it doesn't sound as impressive as when you're starting. You know, it wasn't like she went, that bent piece of grass over there. I know that it's time.
But when you're dealing with newbies, a lot of people are going to panic, especially
right.
when the smoke is getting thick and you can't see in front of you. And
how many of those 16 people really going to pay attention to an 18-year-old going, follow me, I know the way. Incredibly, all 16 hikers made it out ahead of the fires and successfully evacuated in the back of Noel's pickup truck. The experience, Noel recounted, just reinforced her desire to become a full-time professional firefighter.
One of the people on the who were rescued said that she was an amazing leader and was just making sure that everyone was working together.
Yay.
So good for her.
Yeah.
Keeping a steady head and...
Yeah, it sounds like her noggin was all together.
Yeah. Good for her.
It sounds like it would make a great movie. Instead, we'll get 12 documentaries about Fire Island.
Right.
Wrong fire.
Yep.
Wrong fire. Sorry.
Yeah. So three of these stories Monica gave to me. One's my own. We're going to find out which one is mine.
We're going to test Doug now that he's questioned Brett's picking skills.
Yes. So... The next story, you want to take
that one?
Sure,
I'll take this one.
All right.
The world's largest 3D printer is building cozy homes from wood. At the University of Maine, one of the world's largest 3D printers is using sawdust from the state's lumber industry to 3D print cozy 600-square-foot wooden cabins. It's part of a move toward making 3D printing faster and more sustainable in a state where the housing shortage has sort of metastasized, well, you know, in most states around the country, and the situation's really dire.
Yeah.
It's thought that 80,000 new homes will be needed over the next 5 years to keep pace with demand. And though it takes years for building codes to be changed, the technicians at the Advanced Structures and Composites Center, or ASCC, at the University of Maine, hope that their new toy can address this need. The Guinness World Records certified the machine at this center as the world's largest prototype polymer 3D printer, capable of creating an object that is 96 feet in length, 36 feet in width, and 18 feet tall, entirely out of bio-based material at a rate of 500 pounds per hour.
So I wonder how this rates against the 3D printer that's doing concrete. here,
here
in
Austin. I don't know.
Well, I know that the cost of the ones here in Austin is pretty expensive, and it's clearly still they're working on it.
Here's the thing, that when they're doing concrete, they're only printing the walls.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing in Austin.
So the approach that this center is taking is quite different than what we've seen and been reading about for a couple of years. Indeed, GNN, they must mean CNN, has reported on a fair number of 3D printing projects, but most, if not all, involve printing only the walls. One fantastical exception is an Italian firm that is printing 3D printing domed, beehive-like, modular concept homes inspired by the Great Enclosure in Zimbabwe.
And I feel like maybe we've actually talked about that one,
so.
Too. Like, we're, I'll admit, I'm pretty horny when it comes to 3D printed houses. I keep going, why hasn't the cost gone down yet? It's like, well, somebody's got to make money off of this to have it keep going.
Oh, there's a lot of technology and a lot of broken stuff before you get to the real stuff.
Right, right.
So the
one in Maine, the interior apparently gives the feel of a modern Scandinavian wooden cabin, making it fit well with the Maine aesthetic. And the center is now doing work on how to incorporate conduits for wiring and plumbing exactly where an architect would want them. Kind of reminds me of when we went to go buy my raised planters last year.
Yes.
And we went to go see this huge... I don't know what you would call it. It's just like this center great room.
Yes.
With a dome. And we were kind of like, wow,
it was
this
almost
is something.
Like a, it's almost like a, not like, really a sweat lodge, but it was its own little cabin that had stacked, it was like stacked wood in it to create this thing. And then as you look at it from the outside, it truly was a little bit like the TARDIS. To where you're looking at it and you're like, okay. And then you walk in and you're like, oh my God. This is nice and
this
open.
Is huge.
I know. I kept looking and I was looking at it going, what do we do with this?
Can we turn this into
when we build our commune, you know, out in the hill.
Turn this into a black box theater.
There we
slash
go.
Sauna. Sure. Slash. Yeah. He's kind of like, I thought it was sauna night. Sorry.
Yeah. Put your clothes back on.
It's a nudist camp now. Well, Maine's a good place for working on the trees and everything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got plenty of trees.
And if they're using sawdust, that's like, that's the refuse. What else are they going to do with that? Mulch?
And if they go too far, they can always put the trees in the tree museum and charge people $1.50 to see them.
Yeah.
Would you like to see trees? Now, did they happen to say in here, like, they're saying everything is 3D printed, but is that
Okay, she said that in the main one, they're doing the walls. It's the Italian one that's doing more stuff.
Okay.
Isn't that right? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, Maine is doing everything.
Oh, right. Okay, I'm sorry.
So do they 3D print the base?
Like the foundation?
The foundation. Yeah, we don't know. I mean,
details.
Yeah.
Do they do that in Maine, or do they build like on do they build
or do
raised?
They do it as
raised,
a raised
up?
Yeah, that's possible too. I don't know.
Never been to Maine.
Yeah. This is funny. Yeah. So, honest Uber Eats driver working to pay for wedding earns hundreds after leaving viral letter in a Chipotle bag.
Okay.
Yeah. So when a driver for Uber Eats humbly asked for a little generosity in order to give his wife to be the wedding of her dreams, the world responded.
The world?
The entire world?
Really?
I didn't hear about this.
Well, that area around that Chipotle bag. Paul Slobosian.
Yeah, I definitely haven't heard of him.
How is that pretty good?
So, he's a TikToker.
Slobosian has been driving Uber Eats as a side hustle for over a year to save for his wedding. One evening, Erica Hernandez ordered dinner from Chipotle, and it was Slobosian who picked it up and brought it over. Concealed inside the bag was a handwritten note. Thank you for your order. I'm delivering for the love for... Wait, plus three on the side. Wait, What is that? Is that heart? I'm delivering for her on the side to give my fiance the wedding she deserves. Any additional tip through the app or Venmo is greatly appreciated. The note read. So Hernandez was touched by his honesty and dedication, so she shared it on her TikTok account, which, while not being very big, was still the least she could do, she thought. Look, I don't have a lot of followers, but hopefully this reaches the right people. So it went viral. With his Venmo ID on the note, his account was hit with a torrent of generous contributors, including a $500 gift from Chipotle itself.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And so I and Allie, my fiancé, have been overwhelmed by the best way possible trying to figure out how to respond to people and show how much this means to us, he said in his TikTok channel as messages came raining in asking for updates. To start, I just want to say thank you so much. So he details he and Allie, who also, okay, we don't care about that. They focused on planning rather than paying for the wedding. And most importantly of all, spend most of the quality time together rather than working 7 days a week. So they get to have a good start in their life together. The couple who met at the sophomore in college paid for the remarkable generosity by setting aside $1,000 for Erica, who was invited as a guest of honor to the wedding and whose idea to put it on TikTok was the genesis. So they've made more than enough to cover the event through the Venmo donation.
Look at that.
Very nice.
I give them 2 months.
Yeah. It's never going to last. They're going to get greedy. They're like, now we want to go on vacation.
We need an air fryer.
Yeah.
Oh, Allie really wants an air fryer.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking maybe we should start a cult. Would they start a cult? Would they give to the cult?
It's a TikTok cult.
Yes. Also known.
I think that's redundant.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
All right. So the final one is Florida man deploys subliminal advertising to incite happiness.
I've heard a lot about him.
Yep, through viral hand sign hanging campaign. Gary King is climbing down a ladder from against a telephone pole and a red and white sign that reads happiness affixed to it. So it's like he just goes and puts up happiness signs.
So it's 1970 all over again?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's got to have one that says Burma Shay.
Yeah, right.
Happiness, happiness, happiness. Yes.
Burma Shave.
It's kind of like, it doesn't rhyme.
It doesn't. That's fine. All I'm doing is subliminal experiments using one word. One word. One word. I love that they keep repeating themselves. The word that hasn't been around forever, but where do you see it? You don't. So King has been hanging happiness signs all over the St. Petersburg, Florida area since 2019, and it's part of the happiness experiment. A sociology project to subtly influence the population of his hometown through subliminal advertising. You know, like consume more. And
I'm sorry, I have to go consume now. Why did you say that?
He puts glasses on. Like, I don't know, all I've come to do is chew gum, bubble gum, and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubble gum. Profiled by Fox News. The extraordinary
now, Fox News 13.
13.
Yeah, let's make the differentiation there.
Okay,
please.
I was going to give him more credit than what was due. Extraordinary Ordinaries segment by Walter Allen. King says 6 proven sociological effects go into his work. The most powerful of which is the advertising companies have done this for a century by putting their logos everywhere. Their products remain in the front of your mind. So, like, it seems, doesn't it seem obvious?
I mean, this is what he thinks is going to happen.
Right.
How many people has he, turned into happiness cult members?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's part
Are
of the
happy?
Problem.
Are you happy? You read the article.
Well, here's the thing. With billboards and that sort of thing is
sure.
that you see it until it becomes invisible.
Right.
you see it so often that it becomes invisible.
But isn't that the subliminal? Then it becomes subliminal.
I think people give too much credit to subliminal.
I think so, too.
Especially in our age range when we were convinced that, you know, the commies got to us in 1950s advertisements and BS like that that turned out not to be true.
King revels in messages received from Floridians who see these signs all over Florida and are affected by them.
Sure they are.
I saw the happiness sign experiment.
That's one thing I've thought about Florida. They're very happy.
They're very happy. Well, have you been to St. Petersburg a lot?
Yeah, my grandmother lived in Tampa.
I've been to St. Pete.
And we need to call George Lowe and ask him. Hey, George, you feeling happy?
I've actually been to St. Pete a bit.
So there's a couple of letters that say, in another letter, but here's where the thing turns weird.
They started killing each other.
In another letter, a woman bearing the burden of severe...
It makes me happy!
Listen to this, though. In another letter, a woman bearing the burden of severe bipolar disorder almost ended her life. From the edge of the very same bridge, King's son's Brian... So Brian, his son, also killed himself. So this is kind of why the guy started doing it, because he's like, there's these people, and my son killed himself. I know these other people that are doing it. What can I do to help? And he's like, I'm going to put happiness signs up.
Here's the thing about it. So the marketing person in me is going a little nuts here, because happiness it doesn't have an action to it.
Would you say it's an intangible?
Well, there's a lot of environment that goes into making you happy, not just a billboard.
Right.
If there were an action verb there or something like that, you can't just say happiness, because then it's kind of like, what? The sign is happy. The color is happiness. The location is happiness. Is there a .com I should be expecting to see or something like that?
Do I have an action that I need to do?
Yes, but if it were like be happy or something like that, then that would be different. That would be
right. Instead, it's happiness.
Happiness is. It's just gonna sit there, okay?
Nudge it around with a fork.
Poke at it. Yeah. Do something. Be happy. Yeah,
wait, is our closing song happy? I know better.
Yes, it
is. You're kidding. You've got to be kidding. No.
Well, you'll find out right after we talk about it.
I give it zero chance.
How you can find out how you...
You know what happiness is?
A warm gun?
No.
Yeah.
Happiness is being a Patreon member.
Thank you, Monica.
Yeah.
Doug.
What did I do?
You should have seen that.
Yeah.
You should have seen that connection.
Yes.
I'm still thinking about my warm gun.
You can do that by going to patreon.com/2beersin. And by the way, everyone, it's the number 2 beers in.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
The number 2.
What?
No, go take a dump.
Okay.
And no, it's the number 2 beers in. 2 beers in. I hope you know that already, but I'm going to make sure.
Yep.
And there you can subscribe. You can leave comments. You can also go to 2beersinaustin.com and do the same thing. We would be happy to hear from you either way. Or you can send us email at 2beersin2 at waitlistpod. See, she thought it was funny.
Yeah.
at waitlistpod.com. And we appreciate everything that you should give. Now, Doug.
Uh-oh.
For our final song,
he was going to choose which one.
Oh yeah, Doug, which one was the?
Which one was Brett's story?
Which one was my story?
The houses. Nah, it's not the houses, is it?
Decide.
I'll go with the houses, but I don't know.
It wasn't. It was the last one.
It was the last one?
Yeah, the happiness one.
That was my second choice.
Yeah. Happiness. Yes. So I was subliminally affected by the last story. So I'd just like to say thank you for listening. I'm Brett Weaver. I'm now enjoying a gin and tonic.
I'm Monica Ballard. I'm still enjoying my rum punch here.
And Doug?
That's taking a couple of body blows from the other guys, but yep. I still have a little electric jellyfish coming into me.
Wait. Are you serious? This is the song Happy with, you know, with it. It's Pharrell?
Why don't I push the button and we'll find out.
Okay. Not a chance.
Okay. We love you. We'll talk to you next week.
Happiness.
Bye.
You won't